Welcome to another episode of the After the Whistle podcast. My name is Smiley and I'm joined by Crack and Kawawa himself, the star boy. Charlie, three episodes in a row now, we get Kawawa on. Charlie, what's up?
Ade, what happened?
Yeah, we did inside. Crack, what's up?
Hey, Kali, last time me and Kawawa record together.
Actually, that's true, because all the recent episodes that we've had Kawawa on, you know, they inside.
He pay me say,
Let's just start right now because there's a lot to talk about. So we are coming off the back of a very disappointing weekend for the Black Stars. And speaking of the Black Stars, let me just give quick shout outs to Antoine Semenyo, who won our first After the Whistle Player of the Month, Ghanaian Player of the Month. We were doing this for a few years ago. We decided to bring it back. So every month going forward, select a Ghanaian player of the month. So yeah, once again, congratulations to Antoine Semenyo. He had a very good month in the Premier League. He scored 2 goals, had 1 assist. It's been an impressive month for him. But yeah, back to the Black Stars. It's been an extremely disappointing international break, which has seen us first lose at home to Angola, which was also our first defeat in Kumasi in almost 30 years. And then we follow that up today with a draw against Niger. And these two results have put us in a very precarious situation. Crack, in case you know, the way they look like, it makes like, you know, not say we draw. But yeah, we drew with Niger. So that's 2 drop points. Like, we dropped points in our first 2 qualifiers for the 2025 AFCON. Now, it's put us in a very tricky situation because in our next 2 games, we are going to be facing Sudan. The reason why this is very tricky is because Sudan is coached by our very own Kwesi Appiah. Now, Kwesi Appiah is somebody who is obviously going to be looking for some form of revenge because, according to many, he's our best manager, or at least our best Ghanaian manager of the 21st century. That's what many people have been saying. So, and he's been doing quite well with Sudan as well. So, at the moment, qualification to the 2025 AFCON is looking very, very shaky. Now, let me start with Kawawa. First of all, how do you feel about the 2 results in these past 2 games? Bearing in mind that in the first game, people were giving them sort of a pass because the pitch was terrible. But in Niger, the pitch was very crisp, everything cool. So, how do you feel about the results?
I think that initially, I just want to say that I didn't buy the pitch excuse. And, I mean, the pitch was bad, whatever it was. It was terrible. It should have been better, whatever. But you don't lose at home against Angola. They also played on the same pitch, and the pitch was bad for both teams. So why do they win? We got better chances. There was a really good chance for Jordan in the last 5 minutes. He couldn't take. There was another good chance that fell to one of our players that they didn't take. And so I felt like it was a game that they could have won if they had taken their chances. And I mean, it was because Angola, they were there for the taking for most part of the game. I think for about the second half, for about 30 minutes into the second half, it was all Black Stars until the Angolans decided to change, bring on fresh legs. And then in the dying embers of the game, you know, they were able to score. But the thing is that the defending was really, really poor for their goal. And Alidu Seydou, I mean, he made up for it with a goal today, but I think that defending in that game against Angola was unforgivable. I mean, you don't defend like that. And it was the reason why he put Abdul Mumin in a lot of stress when he had to clear the ball and then the striker was on hand to tap the ball in. And so I don't buy the pitch excuse. Fine, the pitch was bad, whatever, but you don't lose. And especially when you are guarding a record that has taken 24 years, I don't think that the pitch was much of an excuse to lose the game. And today, the thing is that I've not been shocked, really, about how the Black Stars are playing. Today, I was watching the game and there was no level of urgency. Even after we scored, they took it as if they had already won the game. And so they were just relaxing. And then Niger took their chance. And then they scored their goal and they leveled things. And so That is where we are as a country when it comes to our team and when it comes to the Black Stars. We have not handled it properly. And I think that instead of us to take it or take the problem head on, we are just trying to circumvent it, trying to find ways of making sure that, because we are Ghana, we'll get past these things and then we'll... But I mentioned that I think after the AFCON, when we're beating the group stages again, I mentioned that this is just Ghana that has gone back into the period between 1998 to 2006. And in that period, it just mirrors what's happening in this period. In 1998, I think the Black Stars got into the semi-final of the AFCON. I can't really remember, but we were somewhere around there. In 2000, it didn't work out when we, it didn't work out against Mali. In 2002 in Mali, it didn't work out as well. And then in 2004, we didn't qualify. So maybe the AFCON in 2025 will be the one that would mirror what happened in 2004, where we did not qualify. And it won't be shocking though, because that AFCON was also in North Africa, in Tunisia. This AFCON is also in Morocco. And so it's looking increasingly likely that it might not happen for us. And I like that you've mentioned the Sudan factor, because those two games will be extremely difficult. The thing about Kwesi Appiah is that he's trying to build a legacy for himself. And building a legacy means that taking a team like Sudan to the AFCON. I mean, what kind of story would that be if Sudan, a war-torn country at this point, qualify for the AFCON with a Ghanaian coach who beats a Ghanaian team or who beats a Ghanaian national team to go to the AFCON at the expense of the Ghanaians? And so I feel like we've just kind of like dug up ourselves into a grave, and it's not looking too good for Ghana at this point, because the next two games are against Sudan, home and away. I mean, if we get 3 points, that puts us in 4 points. I think Sudan and Angola are playing now. Whatever results that comes out of that game means that we are either in trouble or we are in a favorable place of qualifying. But, I mean, forget all those calculations. They have not helped us in the last two AFCONs, and I don't think that they are going to help us now. Will we beat Sudan? I think that we will probably beat Sudan in one of the games, but the other one, it will be very difficult for us to beat Sudan. Then we have to face Angola away from home and then play Niger at home. These games will not be really easy. The thing also about Kwesi Appiah coaching Sudan that I think that a lot of people need to know is that Kwesi Appiah is a member of the executive committee at the Ghana Football Association. And then this same person is coach of Sudan.
How is that possible?
Yes. And these were questions we raised earlier when he was elected into the executive committee of the Ghana Football Association. But then the FA made it look like, nothing is going to happen and everything is under control. But now it looks like nothing is under control, really. I mean, if you're going to play a team like Sudan, whose coach is part of your executive committee, what are you going to do at executive committee meetings? Are you going to blank him out? Is he not going to have information or intel on what Ghana is doing before the games? Is he, and with him being a professional, would he want Ghana to win at the expense of his job? Or would he beat Ghana knowing that Ghana doesn't make it to the AFCON? These are so many things that I think that are shrouding what should be a really good game against Sudan. Because, I mean, who would have written a script like this, that Ghana would fail to win the first two games and have it all to do in a game against Sudan? It is a must win. Now, those two Sudan games have become must wins for Ghana. And where will we go if we do not win those two games? Those are some of the questions that I think that the FA should be asking themselves. And I really want to know if the FA's executive committee is not going to allow Kwesi Appiah to sit in meetings going forward, because we are going to face Sudan. And so the questions we asked at the GFA Congress when he was elected are the questions that we are still asking now. And we were not asking them because we were just trying to be diabolic, or we're just trying to take the buzz out of what looked like a really good GFA Congress. But we're asking because of some of these concerns. Because Kwesi Appiah is a coach. And that was the first thing I asked. He's a coach. He could get a job anytime. And so if he gets a job with a team that we are supposed to play at an AFCON, whatever, what would we do? They didn't answer that question. But now the question is staring us in the face. So that's where we are.
I mean, is it possible that they never considered the possibility? Maybe there's been no precedent to a situation like this. So they just assumed that he was never going to face this conflict of interest. Because I can't imagine this happening in any serious footballing institution.
Yeah. I think they didn't think about it thoroughly. Or even if they thought about it, they didn't think that it was going to happen. But like I said, this is how football works. And sometimes it throws up some of the most unlikeliest matchups that you would ever expect. And that is where the Black Stars find themselves in at the moment. So I really don't know what the FA is going to do going forward. And, you know, is it that they are going, whatever they are going to do, they need to sort it out properly because those two Sudan games are must wins.
So, Crack, I know Kawa said he doesn't, he's not going to attach too much importance to the quality of the pitch in Babayara. But some people say that the type of football Otuado is trying to play is a slick passing football. So you also need a pitch to create that home advantage because you need the pitch to be good enough to play the style of play that you are trying to play. So what do you think about that result against Angola? Would you also not blame the pitch? Do you think it's a coaching issue? Is it the players?
I have a couple of questions to ask. Why? Otuado, is it the first time he's coaching Ghana? Maybe the excuses I'm giving him is a new coach that we've not seen him before. When we were knocked out of the group stage and the AFCON before last, wasn't he the coach? The AFCON before the World Cup, wasn't he the coach? Or he wasn't the coach? When Comoros
before
knocked us out, wasn't he the coach?
He just coached at the World Cup.
Yeah, but he was on the bench, right?
Yeah.
Wait, at the AFCON?
Yeah, that AFCON, the AFCON they knocked us out before the World Cup. Otuado was on the team.
Do I remember?
I think after the World Cup, he went back to Dortmund.
Wasn't Milo, was
after
it,
we
failed
at
Milo,
the AFCON, he came back.
Wasn't Milo the coach before the World Cup? Who was the coach before the World Cup?
Yeah, Milo was the coach at the AFCON, yeah.
Yes, and who was on the bench?
Okay. Yeah.
Otuado wasn't on the bench.
I'm coming out.
Wasn't Otuado and Derek, what's his name? Former, is it Derek?
Not Derek Boateng.
He's also called Derek Boateng, right?
No, yeah, it was George Boateng.
George Boateng.
Yeah.
George Boateng, Otuado, they were all on
that
team.
Otuado worked with Milo. Yeah.
Thank you.
He worked with Milo on that AFCON. Yeah.
And then. And we said about the works. It was on this podcast that we said that Otuado wasn't going to do any miracle with this team. We said it 1 year when he was appointed. I don't think anybody had anything positive to say because we saw it, and after the World Cup, he left. When he was being selected, there was no due process done. It was like it was done like a back door, like bring my boy in. Nothing was done, no due diligence, nothing. They just brought him in, agreed a deal fast. It's like, you know that thing where you are asleep, you wake up and a deal has been signed. That's how it came. Everybody was shocked, like, what is this? And me, I believe finally, as Kawawa said, poor management has caught up to us. I'll always tell you that it is not lack of quality. It is never lack of quality with a Ghanaian team. You can't tell me you have, anytime you have a crop of players performing outside and you can't bring them together to perform, is never the players. Because you are talking about Isayaku is now in the Premier League. Semenyo is playing well. When was the last time we had a game changer? It's been long. You have Sami Kudus. You still don't know how to use Kudus. You have Partey. But they were using excuses that, oh, Partey not there on a midfield, so on a midfield be some way, blah, blah, blah. You have him there. What's the excuse now? You have this guy playing, Elijah, right? Elijah was the one playing as a six.
Elijah, who's
Elijah, sorry. Elijah. The defender that caused the goal, that guy is good. I don't blame him for the goal at all. As I said, as Kawawa said, the cross coming in the box in the first place shouldn't have come. When he cleared the ball too, they were sleeping for the striker to pounce. Let me tell you why I don't even want to blame the pitch. In 2008, we hosted the AFCON. Did you see where the grass was? When anytime Kwesi Osuabe got the ball, do you see how he was struggling to run with the ball? Look, I have seen us play on worse pitches. I don't want to blame the pitch as well. I don't want to blame the pitch as well. But it's a combination of everything. Right now, we've said it. Your name is not going to win you games. Teams are getting better. You don't have the fear factor. They are learning. They are taking time. They are investing in their football. Ah, Kawawa. This guy, right? Baba Amando AFCON. Was it 2006, right? Right before the World Cup, right? The one where knocked out of the group stage.
Zimbabwe. That Zimbabwe match.
The one Lai Kissing got the red card. Look, that's the worst Black Stars I have seen. I've watched them. That was the worst Black Stars, to the extent that going into the World Cup, I didn't have hope because I thought we weren't going to do all that. So, when you criticize this GFA, they think it's because you don't like them. It is not that. This is the first time I've watched Black Star that I can't say that this guy is not good enough to start. This guy is not that. This guy, because the quality at the back serve some no day. Me, I always say we got this guy too late. He came the time he has lost form. The defender were begging him.
Salisu.
We should have never brought Salisu back. It never goes. See, I always say that when you beg somebody and he doesn't come, and the nation, people say negative things about you. When you come back and you do one mistake and they insult you, it will continue. I have not been impressed with him ever since he came back. I won't lie, from the World Cup to now. I have not been impressed. I've even seen worse keepers, but I still don't believe in Atisigi. When I was coming home from work, I think there was traffic, so we had to go somewhere before. And Ghana scored 25th minute, right?
In the Niger game.
Yeah, today's game.
I think it was around the 40th minute. It was shortly before halftime.
Shortly before halftime. Yeah. And then the commentator was like, "Mushuti kipana nye. Mushuti kipana nye. Yakacha muse wunse shot awa bomu bo. Mi expecti se Ghana be winning 10-0. And I looked at the driver. I was like, "Hey, why? Or maybe they are watching something, or is Niger that bad?" Because the way they were confidently say we need 10-0, 5-0, not that. I was like, "Oh wow, people believe in a team that can score." So me, I was expecting Ghana to win. So that one where you were like, we drew 1-1, I was like, "Huh? How are you watching a game and expecting us to win by 10, and we end up drawing 1-1?" Personally, I'm not going to lie to you. I don't care about Black Stars again. The first game against Angola, I watched only 30 minutes. I watched from the 60th minute to the time they scored the goal. I was like, "Bro, Otuado doesn't have anything to offer Ghana. And as long as we have these corrupt guys, we will suffer. Because they are not putting us in a better position to win. They are not putting a good structure in place for us to win. They are not employing the right people for us to do better. You can't cut corners. We don't really have experience like we used to. All these guys are young. Even Pate, that we rely on him as experience. How many times has Pate performed in a Ghana jersey? How many times has Pate looked inspirational? How many times has Pate taken a game by the scruff of the neck? Look, the day you overstayed his welcome here. But there are many times that this guy showed leadership quality. Right now, this Blaster team, I'm telling you, we don't have any born leader there. Sometimes it's not just the coach. Sometimes you have a coach on the pitch. I don't see any of them. Because they all do what they want. Isayaku was the first game I was watching. Isayaku, The guy was trying to do Rabona at this time when it was 0-0. Are you stupid? Like, and nobody, you know, and Pate was mute. And who captain, no? He was mute. He wasn't saying anything. Like, Kudus would try to play some silly one-touch passes. Like, I said one-touch, one-two passes. It doesn't work. Nobody is saying anything. It's like everybody was doing what they want. The most experienced player on the pitch is who? Jordan Ayew. Do you think Jordan... Oh, my God. Look, we've seen leaders in the past. We've seen Captain Matheus. Like, I'm not going to lie. If we even had Amate in this team or on the bench, something would have happened. It's like most of these guys, they've not really been through the fire in this Black side. This Kudus is a star boy, but Kudus is not even a leader. Kudus needs to be put in his place as well. We don't have that. I watched the game and it's like they're all doing what they want. There is no coaching. It's like we are relying on individual brilliance. I'm telling you. They are talking about slick passing. There's no pattern of play. There is nothing. Zero. So, me, I don't know what they are trying to make. I mean, the pitch there, we've said it. A week before or so, that's when you're putting manure on the pitch and you were using water tanker to spray it. Right? That's how to manage the pitch. That's how to manage the pitch, eh? That's how to manage the pitch. I don't want to blame the pitch so much. It's not because I've seen them play no worse, but it's everything. So, Charlie, I don't think Ghana right now, people should really give their hearts and mind to them. Like, we always say it and we do it, but this time around, they will prevent us. They will not make it. So, when they don't make it, nobody will give them their hearts. So, that's it.
So, speaking of doing what they want, one of the biggest criticisms after the game and after the past few games is that Kudus in particular is like, he's not given any instructions when he comes to play for the Black Stars. So he just does what he wants. If he gets the ball, he won't dribble the whole pitch. The deliver make it do what he wants. Do you think the criticism of Kudus for the Black Stars is valid? Make I ask how hard this one.
I think that when it comes to Kudus, I don't have any problem with him. The main thing though is that because when you have a player like him who it's like the engine room, who's like the person who has to do well for the team to take. You allow him to do certain things on the pitch. And that's just how I see it. That, you know, he needs to be, I think that every coach would give Kudus, a bit more freedom when it comes to doing things on the pitch the way we want it. And I'm saying this because usually in West Ham, when he's playing, because there's like a proper plan around how West Ham would play, they keep him on a certain side of the pitch and then there are specific instructions that are given to him. Now, when he comes to Ghana, you know, is he a winger when he comes to Ghana? We don't know. Is he a number 10? Is he a false nine? You know, these are things that we don't know. And so he... You know, and a lot of the times when the Black Stars are losing, he is the only one who has kind of like taken the initiative to make sure that we don't lose. And so when you have a player like him who tries to do everything, in my opinion, you allow him to do a lot of what he wants to do because the team in itself, number one, is not properly coached. And so the coach doesn't particularly know what he wants from everybody. And that is how disjointed it looks like. And so if Kudus is the only person who has the ability to make things work for you, you know, you leave him and give him that freedom. And I think that that's what he's done. The only problem that I have with Kudus, though, is with the club backs and the fact that, oh, if someone says, oh, you're not good, and then he comes on Twitter to say, oh, this. No, it's very unnecessary. Look, it is very, very unnecessary. At the end of the day, if we don't qualify for AFCON, it is a bigger dent on you than it is on any fan in this country. Because look, if you know Kudus, he is one of the players who really wants to hit the mark. I think Kudus is like one of the first players who has that Abedipele mentality in this modern era. Kudus wants to be seen as the best. He wants to be that guy. He wants to be the person that, you know, everybody, he's a legacy player. He, in 10 years, Kudus wants to hear his name among some of the best players who have ever played for the Black Stars and in Ghana. And if you want to do that, not qualifying for the AFCON in your peak years, it's a bigger dent on yourself than any Ghanaian who would ever criticize you. So I think that a lot of the focus should not be on the criticism and on the fact that, oh, this guy says I hold on to the... And I think that a lot of the criticism Kudus gets, they haven't even been that very hard-hitting criticism. It's usually, oh, he holds on to the ball too much. Oh, you know, he doesn't pass when he has to and all of that. And I think that sometimes, you know, fans will talk. You understand? I think, what game was it? There was a game we won in Kumasi. And then everybody was bashing him for holding on to the ball too much and what it. And I thought he had a good game in that game. I thought that there were certain moments where he had to keep the ball a bit more so that the opposition would not attack us and stuff like that. And I felt like he did some really good things. And so in those instances, you don't come out and say you are responding to every tweet and, oh, this guy says, oh, I hold on to the ball too much. So if then you come and respond, oh, if you can play, come and play. Like, those things are not necessary at this point. Because look, at the end of the day, they are all just fans. And the fans are not ones who are playing for a career that will be remembered in 10 years. A fan's perspective is to support and criticize when things are not going well. You, the player, need the AFCON more than the fan. Because you, as a player who wants to make some name for yourself, you need the World Cup, you need the AFCON. And if you're not playing well in qualifiers, that should take you there. Or if people are criticizing you for not playing well in qualifiers, that should take you there. I think that it is something that should be answered on the pitch. You need to answer the fans on the pitch rather than coming on Twitter and saying, because at the end of the day, if you don't qualify for AFCON, they would insult you even more than they are insulting you now. Now that they think that you're not pushing the ball forward or whatever, they would insult you more if you don't qualify for the AFCON. And at that time when you don't qualify for the AFCON, whatever clap back you make to the fan, it will not hold water because you didn't qualify. So I don't know why he expends so much energy in trying to answer fans and trying to put fans in their place or whatever. So I think that is a no-no for me. But on the field of play, I think that he does a lot as a footballer to make sure that the Black Stars team. It is just that things are not really going well. The coaching of this Black Stars team has not been the best. I think that Otuado started on a very good foot. He beat Mali in Bamako. And then there were some games I think there was another game that he also put up a really good performance. But those games were some form of like a paper that went over the cracks. And now the cracks are beginning to show. Because if you lose to Angola at home and you draw to Niger away from home, then now we know that there are bigger problems. And it's the reason why these things need to be solved. The FA, Otuado himself, and everybody else around the Black Stars Management Committee should be able to work that out instead of the players trying to clap back and all of that. Like, and then when people like Kudus are clapping back, then people like Ali Dusedu and Salis and what ball do you know how to play that you want to clap back? You know what? It's okay.
And adding on to what Kawawa was saying, right? I totally agree. When you play chaos football, you rely on individual brilliance. And when you have a player talented enough to win a game on his own, he will try and try and try. Some will work, some will not work. And that is Kudus. When you put a system around a good player, they are going to shine. I have seen Bissouma play attacking midfield. I have seen Insu or whatever his name is. come and take Gokin in AFCON when he plays right back in his team. I have seen players come. I've seen Mikel Obi played attacking midfield, went to Chelsea, became one of the best DMs around, comes to Nigeria and plays attacking midfield. When it comes to Africa, those things where they go like, oh, you play as a left winger at West Ham or as a right winger, so come and play that position here. No, the quality is not the same. It's totally different. But you just have to maximize the team and the people you have around him. Adding on to what Carl was saying, you are no bigger than Messi. And there was a time where Argentine said they shouldn't be called Messi. because when he comes, he can't do anything for them. And he's not fit enough to carry Maradona's touch. Messi goes to the final. He go in and call Messi shots. They blame Messi. Messi doesn't clap back. Ronaldo loses with Argentina. They blame him. Ibrahimovic with Sweden and all those. Look, even Nigeria, they blame Osimhen and all those things. They blame them. So you are not above criticism. So if you are on Twitter that they are saying that you hold on to the ball too much, it's valid. Fans are always going to share their displeasure. They're going to air it. So why are you replying them? That's what I was saying. Like last time I said it, like, why are you replying fans? Because these same fans that criticize you are the same fans that will praise you when you do well. They are the same fans that you are there. They gave you the star boy name. It wasn't West Ham that gave you the star boy name. It wasn't. It was Ghanaian fans that gave you star boy. You get what I mean by that? They picked that from Ghana Twitter and they picked it up there. We gave you star boy. So these same fans that criticize you today, because nobody wants to lose. So they're also not happy. They're also not happy. So they're also going, you Ali Dusedu, Idia is funny. Idia is funny. Chance Nawenya and Obobi. And he's, if they talk, he's also saying something. Because you want, actually. But Kudus, I don't have any problem with the way Kudus plays. As I said, when you have to do a lot of things, some don't go your way. Some happens, some don't. We've seen Kudus come on and score 2 goals for us when he missed the first match in the AFCON. He came in the second game, he scored 2 goals. We've seen Kudus in the World Cup shine when everybody was failing. So it's not as if he's not capable of that moment of brilliance, game-winning goal here and there, or game-winning pass here and there. That's it, but he can't do it alone. What's the coach doing? What's our pattern of play? What are we doing? When we get ball, what are we doing? When you get ball, look at it. Do you know? Hey, Charlie. Charlie. Nah. That's all I have to say.
So, moving on from the Black Stars. Earlier last week, they released the top 30 list for the 2024 Ballon d'Or. Now, first of all, this is the first time since 2003 that both Lionel Messi and Cristiano Ronaldo have not been nominated for the Ballon d'Or. So it makes like some end of an era. Shout outs to those two. The dominance has been for a very long time, but it's enough. Make a new crop of players to come shine small. But yeah, there's been a little controversy over their list, particularly from Rodrigo, who came out to say that he deserved to be on the list. Now, Carl, make us start with you again. Do you think Rodrigo deserved to be on the Ballon d'Or nomination list?
I think he did enough. I think he did enough. But who does he think he deserves to be on the list at the expense of? I think that's what we need to look at, because then we can maybe do a comparison and say, oh, this, he had a better season than this person, and so he deserves to be there. But I mean, I've not really looked at the entirety of the list, but I think that if Rodrigo says that he deserves to be there, you know, he probably has a point. I think not necessarily like a really, really good point. I mean, he's one player that we can do away with, because I think that what we've reduced the Ballon d'Or to has been if your team wins and everything, then you deserve a shout. But I think that sometimes your team doesn't necessarily, even if your team wins, you don't necessarily have to be in there because of whatever contribution that you added to the entirety of the team's success. An example would be Morata was in the Spain team that won the Euro, right? Will we say Morata was one of the best players at the Euro? No. You know, so I think that's where sometimes the disparity should be drawn. But, I mean, Rodrigo is Brazilian. He has a lot of confidence in himself. And after winning the Champions League, it's obvious that he would expect that his name would be on there. But I think that there were other people who were much more deserving. I mean, even, is Nico Williams on the list?
Yeah, he's on the list.
Yeah, of course he has to be there. And if Nico Williams is on the list, I don't think that Rodrigo did enough, you know, to, because look, usually what I like to do is that I like to put, you know, when I'm doing a comparison of players. So for instance, I say that if we put Rodrigo in Nico Williams's place at Athletic Bilbao, does Bilbao win the Copa del Rey? And then if we put Nico Williams in Real Madrid, does Real Madrid win the Champions League? I think that, you know, if you do that kind of analysis, you kind of like have your answer. because I don't think that Rodrigo does enough to win Bilbao the Copa del Rey. But I think that if Nico Williams is at Real Madrid, they will still win the Champions League anyway. So that shows that I don't want to use the word irrelevance, but that shows that, you know, Rodrigo's push or Rodrigo's added quality might not have been that huge in terms of like Real Madrid going on to win the Champions League, because they had Vinicius, they had Bellingham, and they had others who did all the work in it.
Right. How do you feel about Rodrigo's claim to being in the top 30?
You have a list there.
So if you guys don't mind, I can just go through the list very quickly. I'll try.
Yeah, I want you to go through. So I want Kawa to see something.
Okay, so Bellingham, Ruben Dias, Phil Foden, Valverde, Emiliano Martinez, Erling Haaland, Nico Williams, Granit Xhaka, Artem Dovbyk, Toni Kroos, Vinicius, Dani Olmo, Florian Wirtz, Martin Odegaard, Mats Hummels, Rodri, Harry Kane, Declan Rice, Vitinha, Cole Palmer, Danny Carvajal, Lamine Yamal, Bukayo Saka, Hakan Kalanoglu, William Saliba, Kylian Mbappe, Lautaro Martinez, Ademola Lookman, Antonio Rudiger, and Alejandro Grimaldo.
The Artem Dovbyk, no. The Dovbyk, no. If come up for there.
You see?
The Dovbyk for come up for there. Make Rodrigo
La Liga top scorer.
Ask Kawa why they talk, eh? I mean, from the comparison Kawa made, that one is right. But I don't think his frustration wasn't because Nico Williams was there, right? I'm telling you, almost all the EPL boys that were there, none of them, almost all of them, they are not supposed to be that ahead of Nico Williams. Odegaard, Saka, look, they are not so, I'm telling you, Declan Rice. Why?
Wait, ahead of Rodrigo.
Ahead of Rodrigo. I'm telling you.
Wait, Saka. Oh, no, Saka ahead of Rodrigo. Please.
Oh, maybe agenda. Maybe agenda.
No agenda. Are you serious? No. I will not accept this.
So Saka for day ahead of Rodrigo, eh?
Is ahead of Rodrigo.
I don't think Odegaard is ahead of Rodrigo. I don't think Declan Rice should be
ahead. I think so.
I don't think Declan Rice should be ahead of Rodrigo.
Okay, no, Declan Rice, yes. But Odegaard and Saka, they are ahead of
Rodrigo. I don't think Ruben Dias even played enough games to be ahead of Rodrigo. Because we saw the number of rotations Pep was doing and the number of important games that Ruben Dias was on the bench. There are players that you mentioned their names something like that. Vitinha, no, they're not here.
Florian Wirtz.
You see, like, I understand his frustration in the sense that there are some times where, like, the quality, it's on par that Rodrigo, like, I understand his frustration where he feels disrespected. Because this is not one of those Ballon d'Or lists where, Charlie, you go like, you can really get top 15 star boys. So, I mean, the first time I saw the 30 list, I was like, Charlie, hey, this boy football catch now. And then when the little one is there, hey, these people on gas, do they look like they're even... See, how many world-class players are in this list? Think about it, though, Smiley. How many... You don't have 15 world-class players on this list. Look, what Real Madrid did there? There is no way the three boys shouldn't be on this list. I'm telling you, they all contributed. Jude, Rodrigo, and Vinicius. These three should be on it, no matter what. Rodrigo being snapped was bad. These three should be on that list. No matter what, you see, as you read the 30 list, Kawas,
this,
Guys, is it?
No, you see, this would be the thing that they talk about, like basing the Ballon d'Or on just winning trophies. Because look, the Leverkusen players who are there, they, I mean, like, bro, like this Grimaldo boy, and you people, no, you see, no, and you people are telling me that, in a Ballon d'Or list of like the best 30 players in the world, and this is not about me being a United fan or anything, but you're telling me that Bruno Fernandes doesn't deserve to be in the top 30.
We said we do Fernandes against him, but how
isn't Fernandes one of the best players in the world? How,
bro?
This is one of the weakest
lists I've ever seen.
this Grimaldo, eh? Oh, please. Like, you see, winning trophies, eh? You see, that's the thing. But I don't know, but I just feel like maybe they need to have a real look at this Ballon d'Or thing. Because trust me, like, some players, Grimaldo is a left back, right? Some players, the Lewis Hall boy with the Newcastle. The kind of left back way Grimaldo they play, he go play him simple. Lewis Hall go play him for you.
It's not better than a Portuguese left back. Mendes, the PSG left back.
Yeah, exactly. Nuno Mendes.
He's
very good left back. And you see, they go overlook him because the team no go unbeaten. Fine. You see, the team can go unbeaten, but they have won unbeaten because they are a unit. It doesn't
it's
mean
a team
that we
effort.
Should pick... Yeah, it doesn't mean that
you
we
don't need
we
more than two
Leverkusen
players on that. You don't need more than two Leverkusen players on that.
It is very dishonest.
Are you serious?
It is very dishonest. I think the only Leverkusen player who deserved to get in was maybe Florian Wirtz. That's all.
Yeah, the number 10.
He's the only person who deserved to get in. The rest, I mean, like, yeah, it's a team unit, team efforts. They've done it. Nah, Rodrigo for Wirtz.
That's why I talk say, I don't really see the squad. That boy I talk say, make smiley, because I watch what I say, where Rodrigo did. You know, if you tell me, say, Real Madrid don't forget Rodrigo, like the three front boys for there, they don't forget, but Leverkusen get like three. Are you serious?
It'll be true. No, this one, it'll be true.
Charlie.
You see, you don't say, smiley, right now, at the build, you see the way last week I built my Haaland case. You know? right now, at the build one for Foden. I'll be back. See, at the build Foden your own. At the gather the documents. Don't worry, I'll
Foden,
be back.
You be like you the build your own case because it's fun for England.
See,
Charlie,
see
good,
don't worry, I'll be back.
You know good. This season, you know good. And you see, smiley.
Yeah, because he'll be here with you.
How many City players are on there? Three, right?
Rodri, Ruben Dias, Phil Foden. Yeah.
No, four.
Haaland, four.
Why is Ruben Dias there ahead of? Why City get four, where Madrid get two? No, think about it.
Madrid get Vinicius, Carvajal, and Valverde.
Bellingham,
three.
Four.
Okay. But, no, hey, Valverde there.
Bellingham,
Valverde,
Vinicius, Carvajal.
Pasia.
Actually, Rudiger also did inside.
Rudiger.
Massa, hey. No way Valverde for the head of Rodrigo.
Six.
What?
Toni Kroos today.
Toni Kroos today is six.
What is Toni Kroos doing there? What is Toni Kroos doing there? You see, this is what I'm saying. Like, there is no way Rodrigo shouldn't be on this list. And his gripe has been proven again. The way Bellingham go post the top three, way they no post time the other time, he feels disrespected. I understand it. And I understand his frustration because, bro, Kawa, like last season, the guy was coming in clutch. The guy was being asked to come from the bench, start anything. He not get complained, but he comes, scores, comes, plays his pass. You understand? He's those kind, but you can't have Valverde. What Valverde do for? Club and come, Charlie. See, I understand. Kamaya won the Euro, so media are not getting anything talk.
Yeah.
Rudiger too was awesome, but what could Toni Kroos do for them?
I agree.
Maybe them give him respect. Toni Kroos them is there out of respect. I'm telling you, like, that's the only reason why he's there. He wasn't better than Rodrigo last season for Real Madrid, because how many 90 minutes game did Toni Kroos have complete? How many 90 minutes game? No, think about it. When it was getting tougher, he was benched for then they bring this guy in, Rastama. What be
Kamavinga.
They'll take Kroos off, bring Kamavinga, and bring Modric in. You understand? Or sometimes Kroos will come for it. So me, Rodrigo, he has every chance, because Rodrigo is better than 15 players on this list. I'm telling you. And he performed better than almost 15 players on this list.
Charlie, but I don't know, but the Ballon d'Or. So the Ballon d'Or, what did they watch? Like, it be said, and they watch quality of football or the number of goals. Because me, mom, if I did select Ballon d'Or, like Haaland no go dey inside. That one there, it be facts. Because if the boy, if you don't know play, how do you want to be selected as one of the best footballers in the world? Because you are scoring goals. Me, mom, the Ballon d'Or, I won't understand how they pick. You know, maybe my Haaland bias they show.
But to be frank,
this attempt dub fake guy. This dub big guy, dub big, whatever.
Yeah, let's go back to striker.
To score the most goals, out of that place be great. But actually, like, what if it's a flash in the pan? What if it's just a one season thing? Like what happened to Luka Jovic and those players? Like that. What's that guy's name? Piatek. What if it's one of those?
Yeah.
What if it's one of those seasons? You know, so I don't know, but like
me,
it doesn't sit well with me.
Saying, this is the Rodrigo, most mediocre list I've ever seen ever since they started doing Ballon d'Or. I'm not gonna lie to you. Like, I see this list not get 6 world class players. If you say world class, how many world class players in this list of? Did they make I stand down 2? Okay, we go if we get 10. 10 out of 30. Are you serious? Most of them will be world class, one hit wonders and all those things. Like, but last season, like I said, Haaland's last season wasn't really anything to write home about. Think about it. Like, Haaland's season, last season, he scored a lot of goals in a couple of matches.
Last
and the big matches.
I was injured for like 2 months.
Mm-hmm. And then when he came back to some of the big matches before going and since, he wasn't really performing. United wasn't a big match last season. So,
Charlie,
so that hasn't
Mali,
count.
Quick updates. Quick updates. Angola, Sudan, 1-1. At this moment, 1-1. Yeah.
So as things stand right now,
we could still qualify. I mean, if we beat Sudan,
that'd be very big. If.
But it's just 64 minutes and it's 1-1. So
the if big pass. You lost to Angola.
So to Kao's question about the Ballon d'Or criteria. Me, I think it'd be Messi and Ronaldo way then distorts the whole thing. Because previously, it wasn't even about whether you win. Right now, it's like if you win Champions League, then you win some international trophy. But and it's Ronaldo and Messi who spoils the whole thing. Because it's like, because the two of them were always performing at optimum levels, it became a case of just trying to find a small advantage that one has over the other. So maybe the two of them score 50 goals each. Then one of them win Champions League. Then you just take him. So it became sort of the criteria that, okay, the person who will win Champions League for it, the man side, we will take him. Then if none of them win Champions League, then we will take if the person where he win the most trophies. And that's what has distorted the whole thing. Because the time Owen win Ballon d'Or, you take Europa League and things win now.
Bro,
like,
In
this modern day, nobody's going to be winning the Ballon d'Or out of Europa. I don't think it's possible anymore.
It should be possible.
It should go back to how it was before.
Yeah,
because
be
those two,
that,
we shouldn't use them as the standard.
I mean, it should be possible that someone wins the Conference League and because of how well they did in the Conference League, they get a Ballon d'Or shot. But I don't know. But Charlie,
the Conference League leading goal scorer, I mean, name not inside.
No.
You see?
But Lookman Dens, because he scored a hat trick in the Europa final.
Oh, I don't know.
He had a good AFCON.
Yeah.
But why say the Conference League top scorer no did it?
I'm not gonna lie, I don't even know who will be the conference in top scorer. Maybe if it be Oli Watkins or something.
Oh, No. Either Techie or something like this. The team will win the conference league.
It was Olympiacos.
Yeah, Olympiacos. The master striker.
What be name? El Kabi.
El Kabi. Why is he not there?
El Kabi.
Why is he not there? You know, no, like he was scoring from the knockout stages to the finals. So such a performance we've seen. Like, so why is them his name not there? What be Ruby in the essence? What they do for them? No, so the players and then what they do because you're supposed to reward such people that are not known. That do this. They knocked out big teams. Yeah. You understand? They played well.
Yeah.
Nobody tipped Olympiacos to win. Nobody said that. Mm-hmm. But the guy mm-hmm. alone carried them, scoring 98th minute goal, going to extra time and scoring winning goal, scoring hat tricks back to back. You understand? That guy scored like 10 or 11 goals or something in the conference. So why is he not there?
Yeah, 11 goals. Yeah.
Why is he not there?
11 in 9 games.
And you understand? Why is he not there?
Yeah.
You understand why is he not there? This be the things we talk about. I'm like, I mean, why? Charlie.
You know, on this me, Mal, I've always had the opinion that the Ballon d'Or, FIFA Player of the Year, all of those things, the best people to do their selection are the journalists. You know, previously the Ballon d'Or was the journalists alone voting. Then they did the merger and became coaches and players and mm-hmm. all those things, and now I think it's now still split between the players and whatever. Mm-hmm. But me, I think the players is more of a popularity contest for them
because
players just go vote for who they know, and that's why Messi won Ballon d'Or last year after just scoring 6 goals in Ligue 1.
Yeah,
and people were saying it's because he won the World Cup in 2002. Something happened 2 years ago, they take him long after that criteria period had passed. And that's what me, like, I believe that the journalists are the best people to select because the journalists, at least, they are more well-read. They watch more games than the players. The players know they watch ball as much as people think they do.
It'd be true.
No, they don't.
Play ball, no, means they know ball like
they
that.
Don't. Yeah, yeah, they don't.
The journalists are the ones who do their research. They watch plenty leagues. They follow a lot of statistics and all that. So, yeah, me, that is something where me have always supported that.
There are players that know about other players when they are only being briefed and when they are only facing them. You know, or when they are using them on FIFA. I'm telling you, like, I've watched enough interviews and tests to know that players don't even know about other players like that.
And another thing too is that, for instance, look at what Suarez did when he was at Liverpool. If you are expecting that players would vote for Suarez as Ballon d'Or winner, it's not going to happen.
It's never going to happen.
Because they hate him. They hate him. Like nobody at United will vote for Suarez. You know, so those are some of the things. And I feel like a lot of the time, in the players' minds, they are prejudiced. Because, look, someone can have a fight with you on the pitch over something, and then because of that, they will not vote for you, you know, to become best player. But maybe you deserve the best player, but they will not give it to you. Like, And look, it's like maybe Saka, they've named Saka as Ballon d'Or. You think that someone at Spurs will vote for Saka? So these are some of the things, you know. And I feel like, I think, you know, maybe the coaches should vote and then the journalists should vote. But players, nah.
Players should be taken out. I believe that players should be taken out. Their bias will always show. Like, I've seen seasons where Messi or Ronaldo shouldn't have been world best. But it was just popularity because I said it was just them. They had to do to them. Like I see it, MSN, they won the Champions League. Messi didn't perform better than Neymar or Suarez. I would say it every day. But who won it? Messi. You get it? Like that MSN season that Enrique, where they dominated and beat Juventus in the finals. That run, there was a time where Messi was injured for 2 months or something like that. It was like Neymar and Suarez is like they didn't skip a bit. So why is he like you? So it's like, Charlie, these people now they always find a way to ruin it. They always find a way to ruin it. These people, I don't know. Like something is working now, then it's like let's change it. Let's do this. It's not everything that needs to be changed. Like
there was a season when Suarez scored 80. He had 85 goals and assists. The whole season, he didn't even finish in the top 3.
No,
he finished like fifth or something.
Yeah.
and that's crazy. And that's crazy.
85
I mean, look, I am the biggest Suarez hater, right? But I felt like Suarez deserves more.
Way more.
He deserved more from football than
way
he got.
And
also, I feel like that's also another reason why, if you are well behaved as a footballer, things come to you. And that's another reason why I think that there's a possibility Bellingham might win more than Vinicius, given the circumstances that we are seeing at the moment. Because look, Bellingham is a good kid. Like, what does Bellingham do for you to hate
him? That's the PR world and everything.
Vinicius is always fighting with somebody. this player has kicked me. Oh, this person. You see, and those things just infuriate a lot of players. And then players they might not want to vote for you and that kind of thing. You know? Yeah, and the players are the ones who vote. You know? And look, we can have a conversation about, or you can go to Atletico Madrid and have a conversation with them and say, Vinicius Bellingham, who are you voting for? And I'm sure there will be a lot of Atletico Madrid players who will say Bellingham. You understand? And so sometimes I feel like, you know, maybe they need to look past all of that, the players' idiosyncrasies, the shenanigans that they pull on the pitch, and just look at the football. Because if the football is good, you can actually see it. And that's really what it is. But Vinicius, I mean, it will be very tough for him. The thing is that now that Mbappe is also at Real Madrid, if they win another Champions League, he might not even be in the top three because everybody say, oh, Bellingham and Mbappe, and you know. So I feel like every time he may have to outdo himself when it comes to the number of goals. But Vinicius is not that kind of person who will score 40 goals in a season, you know. So those are some of the things that I don't know, but we need to watch it. Because another thing is that if Bellingham scores 15 goals in a season, he's exceptional because he's not a forward. But Vinicius is a forward, so they expect that he will score way more than Bellingham will score. And so those are some of the things. But I think that, Charlie, the Ballon d'Or, yeah, it is what it is. I mean, we are going to see a lot more comical awards in the future. But, Charlie, how you going to do?
So speaking of this, quick one, who are you tipping to win? The front runners, them say it be Rodri, Bellingham, and Vinicius.
If I was voting, I would vote for Vinicius. So yeah,
crack.
Vinicius.
Yeah, if I was voting, I would vote for Vinicius.
I'm also tipping Vinicius.
Yeah, Vinicius, Rodri, Bellingham. That's how I would vote. Yeah.
I think Bellingham, maybe because of the Euros, it dampened his claim a bit.
Yeah.
If he had a very decent Euros, at least like he would gain there. But
yeah.
Yeah. So anyway,
the Euros, they didn't put him in a place to, I always say it, they didn't put him in a better place to shine. That left wing, they made him tire player was nonsense. Nonsense. Because he's not a player that he's supposed to be facing right wingers one-on-one to try and take them. That's not his play. He's supposed to be involved. Like, that was stupid to put him on the left wing. What is that?
Yeah, it sounds good too.
No, you see, he cares a lot more about the structure of his team and not conceding than making people shine. He just cares about the structure. Actually, he doesn't care what you have to do. He just wants his team to win a 1-0
and
or a 2-1.
He was forcing everyone to play. Like, he was forcing them when you realized it wasn't working.
It's now time for our Who Am I segment. For those who haven't watched this segment, this is our football trivia segment. We give clues, and then you guess who the player is. And since we are in the international break, we are going to be using international players.
Then Gangu is on.
Charlie. Since Ghana just...
Yeah, they can't worry me last time, so now Gangu.
Since Black Stars 2, they come shake with well, which they come shake them well with a Black Stars player. So I'm going to start with Crack for this one. So I am a former captain of the Black Stars, who represented Ghana as two different World Cups. I played in Italy, France, and England. My last international cup was in 2012. Who am I?
Domenza.
Played in England, correct. Good. I know I mentioned the clubs, because if I mention the clubs,
like you mentioned,
the client,
go make easy.
As soon as I mentioned Sunderland, no, yeah. So, come on, this one is for you. I am one of the top 10 appearance makers for the Black Stars. I have played in Tunisia and in Ghana, but I never played in Europe. I have spent the last 9 years in the US. Who am I? played in Tunisia and in the Ghanaian League. Spent the last 9 years playing in the US. I'm still actively playing.
Last 9 years playing in the US?
Yes.
Last 9 years playing in the US. Who's playing in the US in the last 9 years? Last 9 years.
Top 10 appearance makers for the Black Stars.
The top 10, Dede, Jordan, Asamoah, John Pinto.
Is he a
defender?
Yeah, he's a defender.
Defender? Last 9 years in...
Because the Ghanaian players who have stayed abroad in the US League longest, Jonathan Mensah or Arisin Afo.
No! Harrison.
Because if it doesn't do it, they check for that one.
Harrison Afo is the answer.
Harrison Afo is the answer. He never played in Europe.
Are that serious? Oh? That's crazy.
So, make I give one bonus question. This one, the first person to answer. So, I am the all-time top scorer in the UEFA Nations League with 15 goals. I have played for Anderlecht, Partizan Belgrade, and Newcastle. Who am I? All-time top scorer in the UEFA Nations League.
Yeah, who the hell cares about UEFA Nations League? Sorry, I don't know.
The Nations League. I want some chair pass.
Bro, the last one won't be the Portugal.
Serbian. He's a Serbian player.
Serbia.
And he played for Newcastle.
Played for Newcastle.
Serbian who played for Newcastle.
He's also played for another team in England, but I'm not going to mention that one because if I mention that one, people get them. I'm not going to mention that one.
Ah, Mitrovic.
Current.
As your mother say, another team in England, Mitrovic. He played for Fulham, he be out.
Hey, Charlie.
This is serious. I never know if the top scorer for the Nations League.
He's the top all time top scorer in the Nations League.
Crazy.
Wow.
Another thing
Haaland doesn't have. Don't worry.
But I remember you. Haaland is number 2. One goal behind, so he goes.
Please. Hey. It's not him.
Charlie, the agenda be solid. Anyway, final one. This one for the listeners.
But before you ask that question.
Yeah.
But this is serious. That Denmark team, no be trash. I said Denmark.
No way.
That Norway team, no be trash. Where Haaland no fit take them go? World Cup or Euros.
Odegaard, are you serious? Yes, and the team actually be very solid team. They don't get excuses. Like at the very least, if Georgia if you go Euros. Charlie.
He says this one. What did they talk?
Charlie.
You know me.
They don't get excuses. Maybe they wait for Ole make you come coach them.
Alright. Then give them the call.
So this one they go to the viewers. So I am the Dutch player with the most appearances in the UEFA Nations League of all time. I played for Ajax and I currently play for a team in Spain. Who am I? So for the listeners, if you know the answer, just comment in the YouTube comments or you can reply to our Twitter page, comment in the Instagram, TikTok, wherever. So we've come to the end of this episode. Charlie, guys, thank you for joining us for this one. If you haven't done this already, please follow us on our social media pages. On Twitter, Instagram is ATWPodcastGCR. On TikTok, it's After the Whistle. YouTube, Charlie, try and subscribe to the YouTube. Like, share, comment, whatever it is. The YouTube is picking up small, so yeah, we appreciate it. But yeah, keep on keep on subscribing, keep on watching, keep on sharing. Crack Kawawa Charlie, guys, thank you. Kawawa, right now they feel like we get some lucky streak. And for those who don't know, earlier this last week, Kawawa announced that he was leaving TV3 after 10 years.
A lot of people were heartbroken.
Charlie. We don't know what will be the next move. I don't know. You know, give me hints too. So we did here. We just wait. See where he go next.
Me, all I go talk is say, just not say the next move. Fabrizio and Gaza will go announce
them. Hey, Charlie. So we don't wait for the here we go. Hopefully we go here very soon.
We
know
here
where
we
lie. Next
and
week.
Here
we
lie.
We did.
Wherever he end up for, you don't say we follow him go there. So Charlie.
Sure.
Anyway, guys, thank you again for joining us on this one. And as always, ATW dominates the conversation.
This has been a Gold Coast Reports production. Catch up on episodes and discover more shows from our network on listen2gcr.com.